Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, it always gets me when people die and you go to a funeral and they say, well, we know that God has a purpose. And they basically say their number must have been up. As if God's got a date circled on the calendar that's your day and your number's up. The Bible makes it very clear that God gave you 70 years. For those of you that can't handle King James, that's 70 years. And he says you can even live to be 80 years if you're strong. It's not a maximum. It was a minimum that he gave everybody. If you die under 70 years, God didn't take you. Somehow or another, Satan killed you. And it may, of course, there's things we can do. If you go out and become an alcoholic, you get cirrhosis of the liver. If you become a drug addict and shoot up, you can get AIDS and you can speed up the process. But sometimes it's nothing to do with you. You could be obeying the law and driving perfectly and somebody over here is drunk and they come across the median and hit you and kill you. And it could just be that we live in a fallen world. It may not be your intervention directly, but it is not God that controls these things. This knowledge that if a person dies, God had to have permitted it. It couldn't happen. God's the one that told us, don't eat of this tree because if you eat of it, you're going to die. Don't do it. I don't want you to die. God didn't start death. Man started death. We're the ones that ushered death into this world. We're the ones that brought in corruption. We're the ones that caused the animals to go perverse so that now instead of them being herbivores, they're all carnivores. We're the ones that started all of that stuff. We brought death in. The world is a deadly place. And it just blows my mind away that religion has taught people that nothing happens but what it's God's will. If you believe that, you believe in a God that is not the God of the Bible. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Let me just show you a few verses on this. I know some of you are seething right now, but let me just show some scriptures. If the word means anything, which I've come to realize that the word doesn't mean a lot to most people. Most people believe what they believe and they aren't about to let the word get in the way. I was working for a lady one time. This is back when I was just getting started in ministry and I was painting her house. And she was a Baptist lady and I was telling her I came out of the Baptist church and I was witnessing to her and she really hit it off with me and liked me and she says, why did you leave the Baptist church? We need guys like you in the Baptist church. And I said, well, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she says, are you talking about speaking in tongues? And I said, well, I spoke in tongues, yes. But I said, you know, it was much more than just speaking in tongues. But yeah, I spoke in tongues. She says, well, that'd have kicked you out of my Baptist church too. And I said, how could you say that? And I turned over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it's verse 39, where it says right here, I said, it says, forbid not to speak in tongues. I said, right here, how could you say that when the Bible's... And she says, hey, there's lots of things in the Bible that we don't believe. And you know, when the woman said that, I just like, well, how do you reach a person who doesn't believe in the authority of the Word? And I found out that very few people let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Oh, this is what I've been taught my whole life. My Aunt Susie, my uncle, my aunt, everybody's believed this. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this is about as clear as I can make it. There's a thousand things that we could go to, but this is so clear. If the Bible means anything to you, think about this. It says, it is not God's will for a single person to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet Jesus said there would be more people perish than there are people who would accept. He said the way is broad and the gate is broad and wide that leads to destruction, but there's a narrow gate that leads to life everlasting. There are many that go in by the gate to destruction, few that enter in. That's Jesus' own words. And yet the scripture says it is not his will that any person perish. So how can you say that God's will automatically comes to pass? God is not willing for people to perish, and yet they're perishing. Why? Because God's will does not always come to pass. God is not willing that a single person die, and yet there are multitudes of people dying. Let me just say that God's not willing for a single person to be sick, and yet there are multitudes of people sick. God is not willing for a single person to be poor today. He came. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus died to produce blessing and finances for you. It says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I could go on and on and on and on with scriptures. God wants to bless you, and yet there's people struggling. For people to believe that God is the one that willed you to be in this situation, it is a doctrine of man that just makes the Word of God of none effect. It wipes out your belief that God is truly a good God. A good God is not the one that's causing sickness, disease, poverty, heartache, problems. God has perfect plans for you, but you have to cooperate. There is responsibility on the individual. There are some things that are going to affect us one way or the other because you live in a fallen world and it's not just up to you as an individual. There are some things that need to be done collectively. Like this nation, you know, we are in a spiral downward morally and in a lot of different ways. And you can sit there and pray, but you aren't going to turn this nation around totally by yourself. It takes some other people have to receive the vision. They have to get into agreement. And the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If the body of Christ doesn't impact more people and get people turned to the Lord and start living a godly life, then the ungodliness that's in this nation is going to destroy it. And so that's not just an individual thing. There has to be other people. So some things, we are suffering to a degree because of just the sin that's in the world. Now, the body of Christ is the salt and the light that can change this around. I don't want to get off on this. Let me just say this, and I'll get back to where I'm headed. But I think one of the mistakes the body of Christ has made, they've become too political to where they're trying to get into politics and do this. And the real power of the church is not politics. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be citizens and vote and do things. There is a place for that, but the real power of the church is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. And if we were speaking the truth, and if you were letting your light shine at your work and in your family and all of these other places, then I can guarantee you, as people's hearts change, governments would change. And that's the real power of the church. But we have to accept some responsibility. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for every person. And brothers and sisters, again, I'm speaking to many different people here. There's no way that I can deal with every instance, but I can guarantee you every person here, I believe all of us, I'm teaching on this on my television program, if you've been watching that, about how we limit God. I don't think any of us are thinking big enough. I don't think any of us are thinking strong enough. We're all limiting God. And yet, basically, religion has come along and said that, oh no, it's God that made you a dud. It's God that made you the jerk that you are. God is responsible. It's God's will. And it's a convenient theology because that way you can just put your feet up, sit back and watch As the Stomach Turns on television. Take no responsibility. You don't have to seek God. You don't have to do anything. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And it just is a convenient theology. You don't Everything runs off your back like water off a duck's back, because after all, it couldn't have happened if it wasn't God's will. You know, the people who believe that get, I mean, violently mad at me. I have had some people threaten to kill me. I have had some bad, bad things happen. And it always amuses me, because I've actually had people stand up in my service before and say, "That's of the devil. You can't say that. You're of the devil for preaching this." And I've turned around and used their own logic on them. "Hey, nothing can happen but what it's God's will, right?" And they say, "That's right." And I say, "Well, then I couldn't be preaching this if God didn't want me to preach it." And if nothing else, they have to stop right there and say, "Well, maybe God doesn't control everything, because I know you're of the devil." But if you were to just follow this logic, I couldn't preach this if God didn't will it, if God hasn't ordained it. That doesn't even make sense. Here's another scripture. Look in Psalms chapter 78. This is a verse that I've been using on television, but Psalms chapter 78, this summarizes the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And I'm breaking right into the middle of this. The Lord is rebuking the Israelites because they didn't follow through and do what God wanted them to do. And he's recounting Jewish history, specifically when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And he said this in verse 40, Psalm 78, 40. "How oft did they provoke him," talking about how often did the Israelites provoke God in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Here again, in black and white, people limited God. Now, some people thought, "Oh, God is limitless." Well, God is limitless in himself. He can do anything. All things are possible. But God has bound himself by his word. And he said, there's so many scriptures on this. Psalms 138 verse 2 says that he has magnified his word above his name.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-157 titled, "God is Good, God is Faithful," when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
It's difficult for me to share some of these truths because it's broken into little segments, and that's the reason we encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. But you know, even those materials, there is just so much. This is a revelation that I've got hundreds of hours sharing these truths. And really, the best way I have to share this with people is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the college here in Colorado Springs, but we have extension schools, I think 6 extension schools throughout the U.S., 4 outside of the U.S. But we also have correspondence that you can get DVDs and study. And so there's a lot more material available. I encourage you to call and join up with our Charis Bible College today.